Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And this, of course, this great letter gives us so many truths, and that we call this the foundational book of the New Testament. And we've seen all kinds, sorts of things. We've seen sin and salvation. We've seen salvation was just by faith in Christ. And we talked about the Christian life and how do we have victory. And then we've seen Israel and the church. And in fact, last couple of weeks or last few weeks, we looked at 9, 10, 11, where it talked about Israel. And now we're in the practical application part of the book. In fact, chapters 1 through 11 deal with the doctrine and the teaching, and then chapters 12 through 16, more of the application part. And we're looking at some powerful truths this morning that's going to help us to make an impact for Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it this way. Not only individually will this passage help us, but it'll help us corporately as a local church. The key is spiritual gifts. Their abilities, the spiritual gifts are abilities given by God to believers so that we can serve Him, so that we can serve within the body of Christ. And so as we look this morning, we're going to think about what are the gifts and how can we use our gifts and how can you know what your gifts are and even what power do we have to use the gifts. And there's so many things that I think we need to know and that we can make application in our lives. The goal is to understand them and be faithful servants of our Savior Jesus Christ as we use the gifts and the talents and abilities that God has given to us. Well, most of you know my background. I was a coach before I went to seminary, but I wanted to be a coach most of my life. I mean, from the time I was about 12 years old, I said, you know, I want to be a coach, and my heroes were my coaches, and I went to a school called Delta State University. It was Delta State College when I went there, and I got a master's in education, and then my first coaching job was Eastside High School in Cleveland, Mississippi. And I loved it. And we had a great young team, and we had some good players. And I coached quarterbacks, receivers, and kickers. And I can remember that we had this 10th grader. He was our kicker. He was also our backup quarterback, but he didn't get to play a lot because our first team quarterback was really good. And he would come to me and say, you know, Coach, I'm never getting to play. I'm never getting to play. I said, look, you're a kicker. I mean, you're going to play quarterback someday, but we need you right now to kick. And we stressed that it's very important on a team that every position is important and everyone is vital if we were going to win, and all the way from first string to the youngest player. Well, you know, we had a great year. We went undefeated. And two of those games, one of them we won 13-12 and the other 21-20. Why did we win? Because our kicker kicked those extra points. Every position, every player is important on a team. The same is true for the body of Christ. Every believer is vital. Every believer is important for the ministry to function, to be fulfilled in a local body. That means every one of you in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are vital for ministry to function. Every person is to do their part and use the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given. And as we continue this morning in Romans chapter 12, Paul is going to deal with the whole issue of spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts in the body so that each of us as believers can be used by God, that we can use our gifts so the body can be edified or built up. Ephesians 4:11-12 says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why did he give those gifts? For the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry so the body of Christ can be built up. That's us. Each one of you using your gifts to equip one another so the ministry can be done so that the body can grow. Well, beginning last time and now we're seeing how the body functions. We saw there's one body with many members, and all are important, all are unique, all are special, and all are needed so that the body can function. Now, last time we were in chapter 12, and we looked at verses 3, 4, and 5, and a little bit of part of 6. But in verses 4 and 5, we saw this great truth. Paul used the example of the human body, and he said, as they're one body with many members, and each one has different functions. And it's true. You think about your body. You got eyes and toes and ears and nose and mouth and everything, and all different. One body, all different, all have different functions. We saw last time that he said the same thing is true for the body of Christ. That's why he uses that analogy. And he says, in the body of Christ, there's one body, many members, all of us are different, and we all have our functions. And so the truth is this, if you want to make an impact for Jesus Christ, and if we as a local church want to make an impact for Jesus Christ, we need to understand how the body functions and understand the key to ministry, and that is the spiritual gifts. Now, this morning we're going to do a number of things. We're going to look at chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. But we're going to do some other things. I've got an overhead that's going to show you, but we've got five things we want to start with. Here are some things we're going to look at. We're going to look at what are spiritual gifts, we need to understand some truths concerning spiritual gifts. Then how can we know our spiritual gift or gifts? And then how can we use our spiritual gifts? And then finally, we'll get into the verses 6, 7, and 8 of chapter 12, which deal with spiritual gifts. So that's sort of the things we're going to look at this morning. As we begin, let me remind you what we've seen about how the church functions. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Romans 12. He says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Now, he says, just think about it. Just like the human body is one body with all these different members and we all got different functions, he says, the body of Christ, the church, is exactly the same way. One big body, so to speak, but many members and all working together in different ways. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation." We become in Christ when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit places us in union with Jesus and we're placed into the body of Christ. And so it is true that everyone in this room who knows Jesus Christ, and I hope and pray that every one of you have already trusted in Christ as your Savior, but all of us believers who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we've been placed in the body of Christ, and we are to serve. We all got different functions, different gifts, different abilities, different talents, all of those things, and we are to function together to do the ministry. In fact, look at verse 6. This is where we ended last time, and this is where we'll start. He said, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly." And then following that, he begins to list some gifts. He lists prophecy and serving and teaching and exhortation and giving and you know, leading and mercy and all that. He begins to list those gifts. But notice what he says. Since we have gifts, every one of you in this room who know Christ have gifts. He says, since you have those gifts, and we differ because God, according to the grace of God, He's given us different gifts. And I'm reminded of you from last time, 2 weeks ago, because we talked some Easter things about resurrection last week. But I remind you that all of us have different abilities, gifts, talents. And he says, it is the grace of God that, first of all, we have eternal life. It is the grace of God that we are gifted. It is the grace of God He puts us in local bodies so that we can serve. So he says, as each one of us, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Well, we're going to look at some things. Let's look at the first one. First question that we want to put up is, what are spiritual gifts? Sometimes there's confusion about it, but here's what they are. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities given by God to believers to serve within the body of Christ. So spiritual gifts are divine abilities. It's abilities from God that He has given to you as a believer so that you can serve. Now, I want you to understand, it's not the same as natural talents or abilities in that way. In other words, if a person can play or sing or play an instrument or work with their hands, that's not a spiritual gift. That's talents and abilities that God gives. But we're talking about divine enablements. We're talking about natural things that God gives to believers so that they can serve. And we're going to talk about it more in just a little bit, but God gives to every believer spiritual gifts. You get them the moment you believe. You have abilities that God has given to you, spiritual abilities to serve. I want you to just hold your place in Romans and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And, of course, we're in Romans, so the very next book is Corinthians going toward the back. So just turn to the next book of the Bible and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to look, and we'll start at about verse 4. Now, as you're turning there, we'll raise the question, what are spiritual gifts? And spiritual gifts are divine abilities given by God to believers so that we can serve within the body of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 4. Look what he says about all this. He said, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but it's the same God who works all things in all persons." Now, he says, first of all, there are a lot of different gifts, and there are. We're going to talk about how many they are in a minute, and we're going to talk about how they fit together. So there are a lot of spiritual gifts. He says, but it's the same Lord who gives them all, same Spirit. Then he says, there are varieties of ministries. There are many ministries that you can use your spiritual gifts in. If you came to me and said, JB, what about the ministries of Countryside? I could pull out a sheet for you and show you that we have 14 ministry teams. And under those ministry teams are all sorts of ministries. You can use your gifts to do ministry. So he says, there are a lot of different gifts, and there are a lot of different ministries. And then the third thing he says in verse 6 is there are a variety of effects. In other words, there are a lot of things that result from the ministries and all of that. So when you think about it, there are a lot of gifts, a lot of ministries, and a lot of results. And as a believer, you've got gifts, and you're to use those gifts in ministries to touch lives for Jesus Christ. There are many ways that they might function. Now notice verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, this is something you need to understand. Spiritual gifts are given to believers for the good of the body. That means your gifts are to be used to help other people grow. That's why the Ephesians 4:12 says, you take the gifts so you can equip the believers to do the ministry. There's some people who are confused, and they think their spiritual gifts are for themselves. I've heard people say, well, I've got this gift, and I use it for myself. You're not to use your spiritual gifts for yourself. You use your spiritual gifts for the body of Christ. That's why he says the gifts are given for the common good. So the gifts are given so that we can equip each other to do ministry and the body can be built up. So think about it. What's the first question? What are these gifts? Divine abilities given by God so that we can serve. Here's our second question. Our second thing is, and it's not a question, but we want to understand truths concerning spiritual gifts. There are a number of things that we need to think about. First of all, A, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Every one of you in this room who know Christ as Savior, you have at least one gift. Remember chapter 12, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians? He says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, you have at least one spiritual gift. You may not know what your gift is. You may have never used your gift. You may have said, oh, I've heard of spiritual gifts, but I never even thought about it. I didn't even think I had one. You have at least one. You may have more than one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, use it as you serve Jesus Christ. So every one of us in this room who know Christ, you have at least one gift. Here's B. Every gift is essential for the body to function. That means whatever your gift or gifts are, they are essential if the body of Christ is going to function. All gifts are important. They're all vital. If the church is going to grow, if we're going to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, to build up the body of Christ, that means you need to serve and you need to use your gifts. The truth is that most believers do not use their spiritual gifts. Most believers do not serve. In a normal church, only about 20% of the people who come to that church ever do any ministry. That's a sad thing. That means a lot of believers have their gifts and they never use them. And what we have to understand is that every gift is essential for the body to function. If the church is going to grow and minister and touch lives, then every believer must use their gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about how the Holy Spirit gives the gifts out and how we're to be using those gifts. He even gives the analogy and says, what if the body was just an eye? What would it be like? Well, where would the hearing be, he says. And the truth is, all of us in this room have different gifts, talents, abilities, and especially the aspect of spiritual gifts is what we're talking about. It's essential for you to use your gifts. So you may be raising this question. Okay, so I got a spiritual gift. Everybody's got one. And I need to use my gift. I'm not going to do all that. Well, we'll talk about it in a second. Here's the third thing under this C, is that gifts are given to believers by the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 11. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he will. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you the spiritual gift or gifts that you have. That happened the moment you believed. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit not only placed you in Christ, but he also gave you at least one spiritual gift. And it's according to how he will. It is God's decision what gifts or gift you have. So as we start thinking about it, we realize that it's important that we understand how that fit together. Now, I'm going to stop for a second. I'm going to teach you something else. I want you to understand some things about the gifts. There are 18 gifts listed in the New Testament. In fact, if you said, I want to go to the places where it talks about them, just for your information, I'll go over this again in just a minute. But in Romans chapter 12, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4, those are the four places in the Bible in which he gives you a listing or deals with spiritual gifts. So if you say, well, I don't even know what all the gifts are, you can look there. We're going to talk more about it. But let me tell you, the best way I think that you can divide the gifts, because the gifts can be divided up into two big groups. They're what we call temporary gifts and permanent gifts. Now, temporary gifts were given in the first century. They're called, sometimes called, foundational gifts. They were gifts given to establish the church at the beginning. Gifts like apostleship and prophets and those kind of things. They were spiritual gifts given to establish the church. And then there are permanent gifts. Those are gifts that go all the way through, that are the ongoing ministry of the body. Now, let me tell you this. If you want more details, because we're just going to touch on this morning. If you want more details, there's a number of places you can go. First of all, I did a study several years ago as we did the book of 1 Corinthians. We've already studied 1 Corinthians verse by verse, passage by passage, just like we're doing Romans. 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. I went into great detail when we studied that on spiritual gifts. So if you'd like it, you can just go out to the table and sign up and say, I want the tapes on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, you can get that. I also did a study several years ago, both in Sunday school and on a Sunday night. This is over the 19 years that I've been here. But I did a study on the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. I put it together. I did a study on what the ministry of the Holy Spirit is. And then one part of his ministry is to give spiritual gifts. And then we took about, I think, 10 weeks to go over spiritual gifts in that study. So if you said, I want more information about this because we're not going in enough detail this morning, then get the study in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. 12, 13, and 14, or get some of the other tapes or do that other study. Now, there are temporary gifts, there are permanent gifts. And those four places you can go in the Bible, as I listed a while ago, you can go to there. Now, here's we take our third question. How can we know our spiritual gifts? How can we know them? Well, there's several things. Let me just start this way. First of all, go to the scripture. Go to those places in those four sections. Look at those spiritual gifts. See what they are and try to get an understanding of what the gift of teaching is, what the gift of helps is, or what the gift of administration is, what the gift of mercy is. Go through those and say, okay, let me see if I can understand what they are. Second is, we've got something for you at our church. Several years ago, we came up and put together what we call a spiritual gift inventory. You can come by the office and say, hey, I want to pick up one of those spiritual gifts inventory. And you can fill this thing out. And as you answer questions and go all the way through it, when you get to the end, it will help you have an understanding of what your gifts may be. You may say, well, I didn't even know I had a gift. Now you're telling me I can figure it out. Yes, you can. And you can know what your gifts are. And so we'll help you do that. But there's a third way that you're going to be able to, or there's another way, and it's got some parts to it. Let me give it to you. Here's the first thing. You will have a desire to exercise your gifts. Whatever your spiritual gift or gifts are, as you begin to serve, you will have a desire to do those gifts. Now, my gift is teaching. And I love it. And I'm here at 6 going, I wish everybody would hurry up and get here so we could get started. Because I love to teach. And if you had the gift of helps, you're going to be saying, I'm going to do this and do this and do this. And you don't even care if anybody ever knows. You just want to get it done. And if you've got the gift of ministration, you're out there going, okay, look, get these two things over here. Get this over here. Put that over here. Because you just love to do that. And if you got the gift of mercy, you're over there helping somebody in a way that nobody else will. In fact, most other people are going, I'm not going over there. And you're going, I'm going over there. So the first thing is that you will have a desire to exercise your gift, whatever it may be. Second, others will recognize your gift. If you've got the gift of teaching, you know what people are going to come up and say to you? You know, I think you must have the gift of teaching because that was good. Or if you help people, some people will come and say, you know, you're always helping everybody. Or if you've got the gift of administration, somebody will come up to you and say, you know, you always are putting everything together and helping everything function. People will recognize the gift. And then there's a third thing. You will see results. You got the gift of teaching. You're going to teach, and people are going to come up and say, "That's the first time I ever understood that. Thanks for putting that together." You got the gift of helps. People are going to come up and go, "Thanks so much for helping us. We couldn't have done it without. I mean, you just did so much." And you've got the gift of administration, or the gift of giving, or gift of, people are going to come up and say, "You know, I think you got that gift." So the key is to exercise your gifts, and what's going to happen is you're going to have a desire to do certain things. Other people are going to recognize that, and there are going to be results. Now, let me say something. You need to serve in your area of giftedness. That's why it's important you discover or determine what your gift or gifts are, because you need to serve where you are gifted. Now, I love to teach, so I want to serve where I get to teach. If you love to help, you need to help. If you love to do administration, do administration. If it's mercy, mercy. If it's giving, do that. Because here's the key. If you were to serve where you're not gifted, you will be frustrated. Now, what has happened in the past in a lot of churches, somebody will come up to somebody and say, "Listen, we need some help teaching fourth grade boys. Would you do it?" And they go, "Well, I mean, I want to help, and I'm supposed to serve, and sure." And they get in there, and after about 2 or 3 months, they're going, "I hate this. I don't like it." And they feel frustrated and angry. But the truth is, they don't have the gift of teaching. They shouldn't be in there to begin with. The people who teach ought to have the gift of teaching. And the people who are going to direct things better have administration. And so what I'm saying is, you want to serve where you're gifted. If not, you will be frustrated. So determine what your gifts are so that you can find areas of ministry that you can plug in and you can serve and you can be excited. Sometimes people worry about me because they know I teach 10 times a week and things like that. And they say, "I don't want you to burn out." Listen, I'm never going to burn out teaching. Never. Because that's my gift. I love it. I burn out doing some other things. That's why you need to do some of those other things. Okay? Right? So that we don't burn out, that we all doing the thing we like to do. Let me tell you a secret too. If you're doing your gift, you know what you'll think? You'll think, "I'm getting to do this gift. I bet everybody else wish they could do this." If it's helping, you're going to be helping and you're going, "I bet everybody else wish they were helping." And if it's teaching, you're going to look around and say, "I bet everybody wishes they could teach." Because when you're doing your gift, it's the most fun thing there is. So know the gifts. Serve in the body. Your gifts will surface. Here's the fourth thing. How can we use our spiritual gifts? How do we do it? Well, you begin to serve. You look for opportunities. Now, it goes back to wherever you think you're gifted, and it may take some while, and it may even be some things you do for a while, and you go, "Oh, that's not my gift. I thought it might be, but it's not." But that's okay. What you want to do is find where you can plug in. Find where you can serve. As opportunities come, look for those areas and the places that you desire and the places of need and the things that fit your abilities and desires. I want you to see one thing. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter, okay? Almost to the back of your Bible. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Hebrews and James and 1 Peter. Get all the way back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to see something. He talks about spiritual gifts. And it's powerful. This is one of the four places. In fact, we've gone to all four basically. We've looked at Romans 12. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12. We mentioned Ephesians 4. And now we're at 1 Peter 4. These are the four places that deal with it. But look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Look what he says, verse 10. Look what he says. As each one has received a gift. Now, the word special, if your Bible's like mine, it's got special in italics. That means it's not really there. They just put it there. It just says, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Bottom line, take the gifts that you have and use them to serve other people. That's the bottom line. Take it and say, I want to serve God as I serve others. I want to take the gifts that I have and I want to plug in and I want to be used by God to touch lives. He divides gifts into two big areas. He calls them speaking gifts and serving gifts. Look at verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who speaking the utterances of God, and whoever serves is to do so as the one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. He says this, you got a speaking gift? Use the Bible. Now, there are a number of speaking gifts. I've got one of a speaking gift. My speaking gift is it's teaching. It's a speaking gift. You get to talk. He says, if you're going to speak, speak the word of God. And that is the key. Because as you know, you've gone to Bible studies, you've gone to churches, they don't even use the Bible. They don't even talk about the Bible. They're going to use somebody's book instead of the Word of God. If you have a speaking gift, if you have the gift of teaching or something like that, you teach the Bible. And if you say, well, I don't know it, then study it, know it, and teach it. That's what we're to do. And then he says, if you have a speaking gift, then speak the Word of God. He goes on to say, if you have a serving gift, whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. As he says, if you're going to serve, serve in God's power. Now, I love the end of the verse, because look what he says. He says, so that, here's the purpose, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says the end result is as you use your gifts is that God gets all the glory. And that's what it's all about. You take the gifts that God has given to you and you exercise those gifts within the body and you build one another up and you equip the saints to do the ministry and God gets all the glory. And if you got a speaking gift, speak the Word of God. If you got a serving gift, serve in God's power. It's powerful. Now, go back to Romans 12. Romans 12, and as you're turning back there, we've seen a number of things. We have seen what spiritual gifts, their divine abilities given by God to serve. We've seen some great truths, that every believer has at least one gift, that all the gifts are essential, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. We have seen how can we know our gifts, and that's you have the desire, others will recognize, you'll see results. How can we use our gifts? Well, we just flat out take the opportunity to look for ways that we can be involved and use the gift to touch other lives. That takes us to our last thing, which is the passage, verses 6, 7, and 8, where he lists some gifts. Now, we're going to go very quickly through this, and if you really want a lot of detail on gifts, you need to go ahead and get that other study, or come by my office and I'll get you some other things. But in Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8, he lists some gifts. Look what he says in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us to exercise them accordingly. He says, now, we all got different gifts. We're to exercise those gifts. Now, as I told you earlier, there are 18 gifts listed in the New Testament. I think that of those 18 gifts, 9 were temporary until the canon of Scripture was completed, and 9 are permanent. He's going to list 7 gifts here. He's not going in any order or anything. He's just giving you 7 gifts. His whole purpose is to say, it doesn't matter what your gift is, whatever it is, use it for the glory of God and to serve. So let's see what he has to say. He's going to list them, and I'll go very quickly through it. In verse 6 again, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us has exercised them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. He says, if you have the gift of prophecy, you know what the gift of prophecy is? It is getting direct revelation from God. That's what prophecy is. The gift of prophecy is a prophet. You think about a prophet like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Elijah and Elisha. And Paul, in a sense, was a prophet. He got direct revelation from God. There was a guy in the New Testament named Agabus who got direct revelation from God. A prophet is a person who could say, thus says the Lord. This is direct revelation from God. That's what the gift of prophecy is. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says that the foundation of the church of the apostles and the prophets. I believe that prophecy was a temporary gift given until the canon of the Scripture was completed. So the gift of prophecy, I think, is completed. I don't think there are gifts of prophecy anymore. Now, there's some people who say yes. I do not look at that way, and I'll show you more in just a minute. But the gift of prophecy was how they got direct revelation. Think about it. Paul wrote 13 letters. John wrote 5. Peter wrote 2. All of the others, like Luke and Matthew and James, they got direct revelation from God to put this down as Scripture. So if a person says, what's the gift of prophecy? The gift of prophecy was a person who got direct revelation from God. Now, as I said, there are people today who believe that revelation continues, that people are getting direct revelation from God today. My only question, number one, is how do we know it's from God? And number two, it should go in the Scripture then if it's direct revelation from God. Now, there are other people who have changed the meaning of the gift of prophecy, and they say this, oh, you could have the gift of prophecy today, but what the gift of prophecy is, it's a person who believes very strongly about what they believe, and they're very forceful in how they present what they believe. The Greek word prophetes and the Old Testament word for prophet both mean the same thing. It means one who announces God's word, and they're talking about thus says the Lord, and it's revelation from God. Let me tell you, I think the person who gives out God's word is a teacher, not a prophet. See, I'm not getting new revelation. The revelation's already there. You got the same revelation I got. I get to teach it. I'm not a prophet. I'm a teacher. So that's one. Now, when Paul wrote to the Romans, the canon was not complete. There were still people who had the gift of prophecy. So he says, if it's prophecy, then according to the portion of faith, then give it out. Look at the next one. He says, if service... In his serving, he said, if you've got the gift of service. Now, another name for the gift of service is the gift of helps. And that's the person that wants to help and they do things. And let me tell you this. Most of the time, the person with the gift of helps, you never even know they have it. You never know what they do. There are all kinds of people in this church that do things that you never even see it. You never even know they did it. In fact, most people with the gift of helps don't want anybody to know that they got the gift of helps. They don't want anybody to know that they did it. See, the people that set all this up and got this here? And set all this up and got all the stuff cleaned and did everything out there and did, you don't even know who they are. And they go, well, that's okay. I just love to do it. Now, I've heard people say, yeah, I got the gift of helps. And they say, yeah, I did the inventory and I guess I got the gift of helps. Like it's, you know, second place. It can be used in every ministry. There are no second place. All spiritual gifts are equal. They're all used within the body of Christ. Let me keep going. There's a little bit more. He says, or he who teaches in teaching. Now, the gift of teaching is the person who has the ability to communicate God's word clearly. He takes truths and principles from God's word and teaches them. If you have the gift of teaching, we need you to teach. Let me tell you, these people love to study, love to dig. I like to study. I like to put it together. I like to teach it. If you said, I got the gift of teaching, but I don't really like to study, you don't have the gift of teaching. Because the gift of teaching has to take the time to put it together so they can give it out. He goes on to say in verse 8, who he exhorts in his exhortation. Now, the gift of exhortation sometimes is called the gift of encouragement. And we think of the person who has the gift of encouragement, they're always right there and they're building you up and keeping you going. And they're saying, you can do it, you can do it. And let me tell you, I would not have made it almost 19 years here without some of you who have the gift of encouragement to keep me going and to keep other people going. Now, there's something else about the gift of encouragement you need to understand. It's a dual aspect because not only is it the gift of encouragement in that sense, but it's also that whole idea of confrontation. See, the person who has the gift of encouragement or exhortation is not afraid to confront. They're able to be able to go directly to a person and say, you know, I love you, that's wrong, but let me show you, I'll help you guys to get it right, but that's wrong. So if you've got the gift of encouragement, you have no problem encouraging people, you also have no problem confronting people. Well, let's go on. He says, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, the gift of giving. There are some people that have the gift of giving. In the same way that you might love to teach or love to encourage or love to do something else, there are some people who love to give. And it doesn't have anything to do with the amount of money or possessions they have. It's the fact that God has put in them and they love to give. They love to meet needs. They love to know about things. Most of the time, people don't even know that they give it. They don't even want you to know that they give it. But they love to give. I've got to tell you this story. Back a long time ago, about my second or third or fourth year here, church started growing, and this couple was coming to our church, and they had four kids, and they were just barely making it. He was going part-time, he was going to school and had a little bitty job, and she had four kids, and she was trying to make just little odd jobs, and so they didn't have much, and they lived in marriage student housing back in the old days in the old place over there. And they invited Gene and I, and I think this would be before we had kids, and they invited us and said, why don't y'all come eat lunch with us or supper or something? So we went over to their house. And this guy, he was incredible. And we got there, you know, in that little bitty place, all his kids, no hardly anything. And I said to him, he had this shirt on. And I said, man, I love that shirt. That's a good-looking shirt. You know what he did? He went into his room, and he took the shirt off. He put another shirt on. He put it on a hanger and brought it out and said, I want to give you this shirt. I went, okay. I mean, what do you say? What do you say? Guy just gave me his shirt off his back, you know? But that's what he was. He would give you the shirt off his back. He had the gift of giving. If he knew there was a need, he would meet it. He did that all the time. They say, it's not how much you have, it's what you do with what you have. And the gift of giving loves to give. Look at this other one. He who leads with diligence. Now, the leading aspect is sometimes called the gift of administration. That's the person that's able to put things together and organize things. And there are many of you, you can do it. You can sit down and you can say, okay, let's put this here, get this over here. Let's call these four people. We need somebody out front. We need this. That's the gift of administration or leadership or organization. You've got to have those people. I mean, they're the ones setting people over here. You sit over here, you sit over here, you sit over here. And then the other person's over here doing something else, and another person's doing something. That's just how it all functions. Look at the last one there. He says, he who has mercy, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, mercy has sometimes been called grace in action. This is a person who reaches out to help others when nobody else really will. There's an old saying that, you know, pity goes, oh, that's so sad. But the gift of mercy says, that's sad, but I'm going to go do something about it. I remember, I've told this story before, and I remember reading this, that there was a woman that was in a country, and there was a great amount of leprosy, and she was in a leper colony, and she would change the bandages of the people with leprosy. And there was a person from some television station over there, and he was doing interviews, and he saw this woman taking these bandages off of these people. And he went over to her, and he went, oh, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she said, I wouldn't either, but I'll do it for my Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what the gift of mercy is all about. They're the people that will reach out and do things for people when nobody else will. Where we're going, ugh, they're going, I'll do it. I'll help them. That's the gift of mercy. So he mentions just seven gifts here, there, you know, and there are other things he could have said. But his point is this, whatever your gift, whatever God has given you, be faithful to use your gifts. And so if you want details, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, go to those passages in Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and 1 Peter and get those tapes or get that study and you can put it together. What have we seen? Spiritual gifts are divine abilities given by God to believers. And believers are to use their gifts to serve within the body of Christ. All believers have at least one gift. You may have more than one. And whatever your gifts are, use them for the glory of God. Let me give you some applications. Here's the first one. Understand how the body of Christ functions. Now, you know this is true. You're not necessarily experiencing it. You know that you're important. You know that there's one body with many members and everybody's valuable and it's got the whole word together and we've all got different gifts, talents, and abilities and we've all been placed in the body of Christ and we're all needed. Some of you just don't believe that. Because you are gifted and by God, and you're in a local church, and you never serve. You just don't really think that you matter, and you don't think that God needs you, and you don't think that we need you. You need to wake up and realize this body cannot function without you, not the way it's supposed to function. And so understand how the body functions. Number two, understand spiritual gifts. There are three aspects of it. A, is their divine abilities given by God. You have them. B, every believer has at least one. You've got one. You may have more than one. I know some people in this church that have more than one spiritual gift. And C, study the passages that list the gifts. Get in there and figure all this out so you can know what your gifts are. If you need to, come by the church. We'll give you the spiritual gift inventory. We'll go over things with you. We'll explain what they are and how they all fit so you can say, okay, I think I've got that understanding. That takes us to number three. Use your spiritual gifts to serve God and others in the body. Use your gifts. You don't have to know what they are, but use your gifts so that you can serve and that you can enjoy it. Let me tell you, if you're serving in the body of Christ based on your giftedness, you will be having so much fun, you'll say, I can hardly wait to do it. If you're not having any fun, you're not serving. It's no fun to come, sit down, and leave. It's not. Some people have thought that's what you're supposed to do. Well, aren't you just supposed to go to church? No. Coming to church is to be equipped and trained so you can serve. Coming to church is so you can worship your Savior and be ready to serve Him. So find out what your gifts are and use your gifts for the glory of God. May we use our gifts given to us by God and serve both God and others, so that the body of Christ, the church, can be edified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for the passage. Lord, we thank you that we see that the body is one body with many members, all of us functioning and working together and all gifted. And Lord, may the believers in this church understand their spiritual gifts and know what they are and know what, you know, they at least got one gift and may have more than one. And Lord, I pray that we will use our gifts to serve you and others in the body. And I pray, Lord, that we'll be challenged from this message, from your word, the truths that you have, that we'll be encouraged to serve you and to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.